Here we go, guys. Let's begin. I want to begin with the following concept of bison. And that is, did Avram have a daughter? Gemara comments in Baba Basra, Daphne Zion, Hashem Berachas Avram Bakol. Hashem blessed everything, blessed Avram with everything. Gemara Basra, Daphne Zion. I believe it's on the base. You have to check it out. Check it out there, are you? He had a daughter. What does this have to do with the shlichus of Eliezer? It's right next to you. They sent out Eliezer on the shidduch to find the shidduch. What does it have to do with the fact he had a daughter? What's the shlichus? What's the juxtaposition, Asher? So the Kliyot Tiferes writes, there's a din. Let's say a father and a son both need to get married. The father's wife died, or the father divorced his wife. And he has a son that's single. Who comes first? You always have to try to be married, right? Does the father come first, or does the son come first? What do you say? The father comes first. That's if he hasn't fulfilled Puruvu. But if he's fulfilled Puruvu, then who comes first? He has to make sure his son gets married. Once he had the son and daughter, once he had the son and daughter, therefore he says, now I have to marry off who? I have to marry off my son, Yitzchak. That's the speakers of Parshas.
Yeah,
it's Zion and Beis.
Is that because Kiddushin is only a step in Puruvu?
Well, yeah. According to the Rosh, Kiddushin is to get to Puruvu. Kiddushin is not independent. Rama says it is. It's good horror when they say. Fits in good with the Rosh that Kiddushin is just to get to Puruvu. But if Kiddushin is an independent mitzvah, then okay. Pashup Shad is it's working with the Rosh. That's a Pashup Shad. It's a very good horror. Okay, that's the first Kiddush I want you guys to get from my Now, there is one other comment I want to mention on this. You know, one time during Chol HaMoed, on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, they asked the Vilna Gaon, we know that Avraham Avinu fulfilled the whole Torah, right? I'm sorry. We know that Avraham Avinu fulfilled the whole Torah. Thank you very much. Thank you, Nate. Thank you, Yosef. We know that he fulfilled the whole Torah. Where do we find that he fulfilled the mitzvah of Sukkah? Yes? First of all, it says in the Medrash, Bakol Zu Sukkah. Where do you see Sukkah is hinted in that pasuk? Because what is Bakol the Rosh HaTevis of? Basukos, Teishu Shivas Yomim, Kol HaEzrach, Bisol Yeshu Basukos, Laman, Yehdi the Rosechim, Basukos, Shabbat, Bnei Yisrael. So the Kof, the Beis is Basukos, the Kof is Kol HaEzrach, and Laman Yehdu, Laman. That's how the Vilna Gaon wanted to say the pshat is. Okay, we got this Kiddush? Okay. This is the Kiddush I want to bring out here. You got that? You saw it? This is how the Vilna Gaon says the wife. So we have two pshatim in the word bakol. Either the daughter or it's referring to sukkahs. I want to share with you, might be kedai, the maisa, what's written in the Sefer. I want to say it over at Teres Kenya. The Sefer that came out for a chapter's 80th birthday. Teretz Tzvi. So in this week's Parsha, fellows aren't here, please have them listen on the tape. On this week's Parsha, they have each a shtickel for every Parsha. And guess who's in this week's Parsha? Guess who? Yeah, you see that? So I want to tell you over what I said, the Haggadah part. I wrote the Haggadic part and the Halacha part. So I want to tell it to you verbally. You guys don't have to read it inside.
Thank you.
You should want to read it inside. So Leitchik asked three kashas, and we added on a fourth. This might not be exactly every detail, but he asked three kashas. Number one, why does the Torah spend over 60 psukim on telling us about the shidduch? So that tells a story, repeats the story, how he should make sure to find the right patient style for who? Number one. Number two, the second gotcha is, why does the Torah Kedosha end the Parsha with the Derech Yishmael? Why does it end with the Derech Yishmael? Who really cares about the generations of Yishmael? Right? What do you care about Yishmael and the Doros? Yeah, what do you need it for? Who really cares, to be frank about it? Who cares about the Doros of Yishmael? That's the second gotcha. And the third kasha is, What is the connection between the parsha and the haftarah? The haftarah is about Adon HaMelech, about before he dies, and there's this whole rebellion by Adonijah to take over, and you know, Bathsheba gets all upset, and Nathan the Navi comes in. So Adon HaMelech says, "Don't worry, Shlomo will be the king." And he took a shua, and he said, "Don't worry about it," because there was this concern that he was trying to take over rebellion by Adon HaMelech. What's the kesher between haftarah and haftarah? You got the three kashas? Those are three kashas, the rubs, that's all I ask. But you throw that a fourth on it. Why would you call the parsha Chayi Sara? It begins with the death of Sara. Call it Nisa Sara. No? Bizarre. So one of the many recurring themes, that we have on the soul of Achik in these brushes, probably the most popular, and it's very important. You should be familiar with this title we always try to say over for from it. And that is that it's the notion of the Masorah. The importance of the Masorah. That you don't live for yourself. You live to pass on a legacy and a message that you learn from your parents and grandparents from your Rebbeim and pass it down to your children and your Talmidim. That's what the Rav called in Hebrew, Tziruf L'Dairus. What's a Tziruf L'Dairus mean? A bridge from the past to the future through the present. A Tziruf L'Dairus. The Rav used to bemoan, in America we need to make the Avos and Imos alive. They're not just historical figures. We have to make them alive in our lives. Life's all the sin of abundance. What is the most famous Mishnah? What is the Mishnah Avos in the beginning declare? That's the Mishnah about the Messiah. Moshe Kibbel Misinai. What's Misinai? What should it have said, the Rav said? Bisinai. Well, you think Sinai stretched out its arm and gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu? You know, like, press the button. What do you think? Hashem pressed the button. And extended its arm and gave the Torah. Sinai is an inanimate object. How could that be? Should say Moshe Kibbel Torah, this Sinai, not me Sinai. The Gemara says in Sota, I believe it's Hayom HaVeh, you look it up. It says that Sinai was the smallest mountain. Why did Hashem choose the smallest mountain on the world? Not Mount Everest, not Mount Washington, right? What other big mountain there is? Why do you choose the biggest? Why do you, what? Mount Everest, I said, otherwise. Yeah, the Gemara in Saita. Gemara in Saita was in Hamon Bays. Why was it Sinai? Sinai was the smallest mountain. Why was the smallest mountain? Why would you choose to give the Torah on the smallest mountain? The Gemara in Saita, Hamon Bays. To choose to deliver the message of another, humility. You want to become a Talmud Chacham, you have to be humble. Moshe Rabbeinu was the progenitor of the Messiah. Is it Hamad Alpha or Hamad Beis?
Is it the top Hamad?
Top of Hamad Beis. He's the progenitor of the Messiah.
Could it also have been to spare Moshe from Eshet Sa'ar? Climbing down?
I don't know. That's not what the Gemara says. That's what you say, I guess. So the Gemara says that, the Gemara says in Brachas and Baba Kama that Torah is compared to water. Water flows downward. You want to become a Talmud Chacham, you got to be an Anav. Moshe Rabbeinu chopped that message. That's what Sinai taught Moshe Rabbeinu. So we have to realize that we need to realize that we don't live for ourselves. We're not Mr. Me. We live to pass on a message to glean from our Rebbeim, from our parents, grandfathers, and pass it down. We don't have any Mr. Me. And that's what the Masorah really has to be all about. So what are the three things that keep the Masorah strong? Mishnah says. What is the first one? Having Matunim Bedin. When the Rav is asking Shiloh, don't be haphazard about it. Don't be quick. Research it, Shiloh. When you make any decision in life, you have to think about it.
Matunim.
Matunim. Matunim means like be patient. Look up the Shiloh. Because if you're rash and you make the wrong sock, you're going to mess up the Masorah. It'll be passed down the door, wrong sock. Number two, Basu Siag L'Torah. Make a fence for the Torah. The Chum made fences. Make Muksa, so we won't carry. Yichud, you won't do Adin Yarayas. That ain't even going to be a Torah Siag. But the Chum made a lot of Siagim to make sure that the Torah would be what? Would be fulfilled. And the Torah would remain strong. And we never would lose the Torah. Yes, you need to make fences. to make sure that that will put the message you passed on. And what's number three? You have to be mamid, tamid, harvik. You have to try to disseminate the Torah to the best of your ability. To make Talmudim that will become even independent. But they don't have to ask for shyness all the time. But they should know themselves. They should always have a connection. Ask for whatever they need. But there's an issue to hoard the Torah. You know there's an issue to hoard the Torah? You have to try to teach the Torah as much as possible. In that sense, you spread the word with the Sayer Satan. And this is the ikkar of what we have to think about. This notion of being from the Chachmei HaMaseir, from door to door that we choose. And that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Torah to be delivered at every door. Based on this Hakdama now, you can plug in and answer all the kashas. They all fall like dominoes. Number one. What's number one? Why over 60 psukim? Why do you have to repeat the shidduch about the shidduch and tell so much about it? Why couldn't it just be, go find a nice Eishes Chayil? What's the reason? Usher. Because Avram knew that he just, his whole mission in life was to disseminate monotheism. And that could go up in smoke if he doesn't have a son that's going to continue with a partner in life like Rivka that will help him and assist him to do that. And that's why the Torah tells the story once and again and then again. Because it was so critical to make sure that he would have a partner that would help him disseminate the Torah in the highest levels. You follow me? And that answers the second question. Because you know what? When it comes to the Shema, there is no message. All they do is have kids. That's what Hashem is trying to contrast. You follow me? We try to contrast the notion of us having a message with our children as opposed to the Ishmael of Pera Odom, Yadu Bakoil, the Rosh of Ganovin. We have a message, they have no message. All he does is have children. And number three, David HaMelech copped this message, guys, from the others. David HaMelech copped this message from Avram, and he said, don't you worry about Batsheva and Nasan HaNovim. He's taking the shmur that Shlomo HaMelech will continue David HaMelech's mission. I'm sorry again. He will continue the mission. He will build the Beis HaMikdash. It will not be Adon Eliyahu. This Masorah that he will continue and will be who? Shlomo HaMelech, because I don't live my life for myself. I live a life that I glean from the others, from Moshe Rabbeinu. I always find it fascinating when you see a pasuk in Tehillim referencing Yetzias Mitzrayim. David HaMelech lived in a time where he wasn't living in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but he was told it. David HaMelech was told it. Whenever you see a reference to him, I always find it remarkable. He was told about it. And that's when he said, I don't live in a vacuum. I live to pass on a message from my parents, my rabbi, to who? To my children. And Shlomo HaMelech is the king. And that is what Shlomo HaMelech, that's what David HaMelech copped. And that's the connection between the Haftarah, between the partial Haftarah. You follow this? And that answers our own fourth question. Why is it called Chai Sora? Should be called Misa Sora. So what's the famous din? Tzadikim in Misasom, the Kroyo Chai. Tzadikim in the Defa called alive. Why are they called alive? Because their message still resonates. That word resonate. That message resonates. It still rings in our ears. It continues, you know, physically, sorry, maybe died. But that's this notion of tzadikim in Misasom, Kroyo Chai, because they pass it down. That's what says Yaakov Avinu Lomes, more in kindness. But in this essence, every time in the Misa are still alive. Because this message continues and continues. So I think you need to say this to your focus on this week of Chai Soren to pass down this notion of how important the Soren is, the tradition. Tradition, legacy, heritage. Come up with all the synonyms you want. But the bottom line is, this is the finish that we want to bring out with the Chai Soren. Okay. Let's continue now. Okay, let's continue. Go to 9:30, though. We have a lot to do today. We got the bottom touch, the Gemara, and the top touch. A lot to do. Let's continue. You know, the famous Rashi in the beginning of the Parsha, he writes, before we go on to that, I want to add on to the Aznayim of the Torah. He suggests that the Parsha is known as Chai Sor, which means the life of Sor when it begins with death, and in the subsequent Parsha, which means Yaakov lived, where does it say, Vayechi, he died. So it says it really two times. So Zalman Sarovskin, the Aznayim of the Torah, suggests this was done purposely in order to teach us that true life is not the life in this world that we typically associate with being alive. Rather, true life begins after the soul leaves the body and enters the world to come. This is alluded to by referring to the Torah portions in which Sar and Yaakov died as representing their lives, as it was only at that point they truly began living. It's similar to what we said, but the real essence is what? The real essence is Olam Haba. As you know this song, Olam Haba is a people side. You know that song, right? You don't know that song? Yiddish song. You guys don't know that song? What's the next thing? Living towards the Betazach? You guys never heard of that? Not anybody? Go ahead, sing Yisrael. Olam Haba is a Betazach. Learning Torah is a Betazach. And I don't know the words. I don't know the Yiddish. Do you know the Yiddish? I don't know. I always fake the rest. All right. Let's continue now. Because that's what it is. The first tikkun we said about Bakol. Second one was the whole mile for that amount of concern. Number three was right now. Rashi Akedah writes, the Torah uses the expression Shnei Chayisara. You guys remember what it says? Who would shove in the title? All the years are equally good. It teaches that our entire life is equally good. Now, if you think about it for a moment, how on earth was that possible? This is how you build up a kasha. This is how you build up a kasha. How is that possible? Let's think. How could that be possible? What happened early part of her life? She suffered tremendously by being kidnapped by Paro and Avimelech, two guys. And from her inability to conceive a child, that's considered to be what? Considered as good as the end of her life?
Sorry.
How is that possible? Who in trouble and life? Should Yaakov Naiman with Dr. Musser, tremendous safe answer that Tzadikim indeed view everything that happens to them as good. Even if they're initially unable to appreciate or enjoy a situation, they recognize that it emanates from Hashem and is ultimately for their benefit. And from this perspective, Sara viewed all of the events of her life as equally good. That's one shot. Yes? Superwin said, Kol Mandam up on top of. Alternatively, Rav Moshe, the Drash Moshe suggests that Rashi doesn't mean that all the days are left equally enjoyable. Rather, Rashi means that Sar's acts of kindness are always performed with the identical joy and enthusiasm, regardless of a person's situation at that time. That's a very interesting shot of Rav Moshe, no? But a person in a bad situation, and you don't wear it off your shoulder, you don't show that to people, you're showing that you're happy and everything. That's what Elisha writes. Even though she internally is going through all the service, she didn't show it at all. Yes, Benjamin.
First try
is the dark day Musa. We got 90. That's the finish of Elisha we want to bring out. Okay? Very interesting shot. Okay, now, I have a bit of lumpness to tell you. I want you to follow this. How was the shidduch able to be good? How was the shidduch able to be good between Eliezer and who? Eliezer married her off. Yes, Eliezer did the kedusha between Yitzchak and Rivka. Yes, Eliezer was an Eved Knaini. According to Moshe, there's an Eved Knaini special shlichus. How could this be good? How was the shidduch good? You got the kasha? So there is one sheet in the Rivka that says it's good. But even the Rimi guy says it's only good by getting, not by kedushin. So back to the kasha. So there is a Tosfos Rid that says Yad Eved Kiyad Balabais. Maybe the Eved is an extension of the Balabais. But that only works for getting momentous, not for Yisurim. Kedushin is Yisurim. So back to the kasha. So Yitzchak Sarutskin in his sefer, Bruce Yitzchak, says amazing shot. You know what he says? that Avram and Yitzchak were Meshachrer Eliezer, Al Tanai, on condition that he wouldn't live with her. Because every Kanaanis are Chashad and Arias, that they're promiscuous. So he said, we'll only Meshachrer you on condition that you don't live with Rivka on the way back. You hear the finish? So he was not an Evi Kanaani. What's the problem with that? You'll see when you guys do Shnai Mikra. What's the problem? Oh, excellent, Nathan. The Torah still calls him an Evan on the way back. So you know what the save is? The Picker of Lazar. When they came back, they brought her in, they checked and she was still a Psul. And she was still a Psul. So it was Lamafreya, a condition. Lamafreya retroactively became free right before the Kedusha. They gave a Shichra al Tanai that he wouldn't touch her and he wouldn't live with her. And it was only Mekuyim later on. So until they found out that the Tanai was full, they still had to call him an Evan. So Mamedo Lamafreya, he was free and therefore the Shidduch is good. You hear the thirds? That's why the Shidduch is good, Allah Almighty. Because he was not a what? He was not an Evan Tanai. At the time of the Kedusha. Okay. It's a little bizarre that Yitzchak was willing to entrust the selection of his wife and the most important decision of someone's life to Eliezer, instead of insisting on choosing his life partner himself. No? What's a shot behind this? So you guys ever heard of the Sefer Michtam Eliyahu? You ever heard of Michtam Eliyahu? Who's from Michtam Eliyahu? Rav Desna. The elder stories the Mashkiach Lubavitch, the great Gaon. He writes, Rav Desna writes that although contemporary know-it-alls are convinced of their superior wisdom and psychological insight into prospective marriage partners, they are in fact totally blinded to truth by their evil inclinations. As a result, no matter how well they think they know the woman they choose to marry, it is inevitable that after the wedding they will be appalled to discover facets of her that they completely overlook. This is mostly why the divorce rate is so much higher today, but people choose their own spouses and know them well. Then it was 100 years ago when spouses were selected by one's parents. In reality, only someone else who isn't blinded by his desires is able to accurately assess the propriety of a match. For this reason, Yitzchak trusted Eliezer to find the correct wife for him. Now, I don't know if everyone would agree with that nowadays, no? Obviously, in this day and age, you all make the choices, but I think you understand where he's coming from, it's a different door. But what I think you can glean from it, even if you don't want to fully agree, he's a gadol, is that it's good to consult, not with too many people, because if you consult with too many, you start, get confused, you know what I mean? You have to ask an Eitzah from eight different Revayim, you come back, your head spinning. You know what I mean? So you have one or two, maybe, or three the most, you know. But Lamaisa, I think what it means is that, you know, you got to make the decision at a different time. If I see them, they don't even, you know, what do they meet once for 45 minutes? And then they get married. So, but I think what it means is, and we haven't really spent time on this, maybe one time we will, maybe at lunch we can talk about it. You guys want to launch, we should talk about topics, about dating, you know? But one of the things is I'm not a big proponent. You don't need to date a girl for a year. And if you're dating good and you spend a lot of time with her, I mean, 6 to 9 months should be more than enough. I mean, already a year is getting too much. It gets complicated, you know what I mean? And it gets, there's no rules, you know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying to you is that this is what it means. You want to get to know. You don't have to, you know, Lamais, and that's a big doctor should tell you. Yes. I couldn't hear you. I think 6 to 9 months is more than enough. You're seeing her and speaking to her a lot, you know. And how much more time do you need? You know what I mean? Like I said, there's no rules, but to be a girl for 2 years, that's not the direction to take. It also gets complicated with the issues, you know, sneeze, it's not healthy. But also in that same vein, listen, nothing's perfect. that same vein, you don't want to have a long engagement either. You don't need to have a 6 month engagement, 9 months engagement, you know what I mean? 3 months, how long is it hard to take to get the wedding? How long is it hard to get ready for the wedding? But for my son, we have to keep this in mind, and obviously you want to make the decision, and you know, but don't be, you know, you can do right research, you're going to be consult about it. Consult about it in that sense. Okay, but ultimately it's your decision. On the other extreme, I know you could have guys that could say, oh, a guy married a girl, God forbid, there's a catastrophe for him, he got divorced. He blames it on his Rosh Hashiva. The Rosh Hashiva can't be an oracle either. He has to say, only one is perfect is the sheriff. You could go through and discuss a topic, that's what I do. But I can't ultimately decide for it, it has to be your decision. We can talk about it, we can talk about the different possibilities, try to, you know, clarify it. But in the same vein, the person that gives the H has to take responsibility, that, you know, it's your decision. Just trying to assist you. On the other hand, the person that's taking the H has to be a Balachrayus and understand that he's ultimately making the decision. Right? I mean, that's one of the, what's the Hasham that we say? What's the Vav? One of them's an Eitzah, no? What? Yeah, but what's the one about, is there no one about Eitzah? There is one about Eitzah. What's the one about Hasham about Eitzah? What? Yeah, Ve'atznu, yeah. That's about the good and bad Eitzahs. Number one, you know, taking the Eitzah, number two, giving the Eitzah. So be my friends. Okay. All right, let's finish up soon when I finish 9:30. We got a lot to do. You know, Rashi writes that Eliezer saw that the water in the well miraculously rose to greet Rivka as she approached. So why did he proceed with his original plan to test her willingness to offer him and his camels water to drink after he already recognized her tremendous piety, as demonstrated by her ability to perform miracles? She's very passionate, no? I mean, you see water rise from someone, don't you think that's slam dunk? She's the one? No. You have to see if she's going to do the chesed. Is she going to offer what to him and the camels first? Is she really about this? What do you need to do that for? You already saw the water rose for her. Isn't that a done deal? No? She's very passionate. So the Rav says, the Rav's uncle, that the performance of miracles doesn't necessarily demonstrate a person's piety. Even though the water miraculously rose to greet Rivka, Eliezer was solely interested in her conduct and actions, as this is the sole determinant of a person's spiritual level and was the test by which Eliezer evaluated her fitness to marry Yitzchak. Similarly, the Torah reports, that when Eliezer returned with Rivka, he related to Yitzchak all of the miracles that he witnessed. Yes? And experience. Yet the Targum writes that this did not impress Yitzchak. What impressed Yitzchak? Only Yitzchak saw that her actions were similar to those of his mother Sarah, did he marry her. You know what are the three things? Hadlakas Neiros, Kala, what else? Taras Mishpachim. When she went back into the tent for a certain minute, then the brachos came back, you know? That's the key thing. We can talk about it more on Monday. You gotta organize it. You want to have Chinese, right? Chinese on Monday. Chinese for lunch. So we'll start sure a little bit early on Monday. So we'll finish 2:15. We'll start at 1. We'll have a lunch from 12 to 1. Over there, yeah? So I can give you the order. Is that all right? Okay. That is the most thicker thing, though, guys. The most thicker decision when you decide who you want to marry is she a kind and a balas minas? Obviously, you got to be attracted to her, but if she's a mean person and self-centered, forget about it, okay? Just forget about it, and that sometimes takes time to discern. Is she really innately balas chesed or balas minas? Might take 6-9 months, maybe a little more. Like I said, there's no rules, but that is the issue, okay? Not how beautiful she is, and you know how, obviously I said you gotta be attracted to her, but that is the ikkar. She's a mean and self-centered person, forget about it. You got me? And this is why the miracle didn't mean anything. I don't know, maybe the miracle happened because of something else, you know? She happened to be a remarkable woman because she could hang around with two men who were horrible people. Lovin and Mesula, her brother and father, were big and short. You know, at kiddushins and weddings, after you do the bedekin, there's a special bracha that you give the kala, And I give the madra to the father, both fathers, and then I say it myself for the kala. Most misadri kedushin say it, but there are a minority that don't, because you know who said it? You know who said it? Love them. In our parsha, Akosenu Haik Alfi Revolva, may you become like myriads of people. So some misadri kedushin, only a minority, so we can't say it, love it. What do you mean? Fakir, loving the biggest Russian will still give a bracha to his sister. So that's why most Rishonim Kedushim do say it. I'm not gonna lie. Rabbi Yaakov Edmund says not to say it because Bilam said it, but we don't hold like that. Roll pause, but there is a sheet that says not to say it because it came from Bilam. But we don't hold like that. Okay, now there's another mahalach that love this. We don't have time to do. Maybe we'll do it on Sunday, Pakish. Because you know we're learning Gittin. Maybe we'll do it on Sunday. Well, Lamaisa, this is the Kiddush that I want to bring out, okay? And we have to keep this in mind, and this is amazing. Every part is an amazing Kiddush. But the bottom line is that, you know, every marriage is different. Every marriage is different. And I want to just point out, in this day and age, thank you, in this day and age, communication is the ikkar in any relationship. But certainly in marriage. If something bothers you, you gotta say it, you wanna compliment, you gotta compliment. Or even with a friend, you gotta talk, you can't harbor things. You have to be able to communicate. The Netziv writes that this marriage was different. The first time Rivka saw Yitzchak, her scarf was on. That showed it was closed. They did not have open communications. They still had a beautiful marriage. But, what'd you say?
How does that show that?
Because she was covered. She was covered when she first saw him, and it stayed that way. Because otherwise, Yaakov never would have gotten the brachas. You know, with Yaakov and Esav, they were closed off. She didn't share these things, you know, with Yitzchak. She didn't share these things with Yitzchak. That created the scenario that the brachas could go to Yaakov.
Wasn't she also like 4 years old?
Whatever the age of her, three, but Lamaisa, she might have been older. Whatever it is, though, it wasn't like Avram and Sarah's marriage and Yaakov and Leah. Which, and nowadays, we always recommend open communication. I'm just saying that Netziv writes on this parsha that he writes, that was symbolic of their marriage, that they did not share things, and therefore that's why it created the scenario that Yaakov was able to get the brachas, and Esav did not get them, because otherwise it never would have been able to happen. So that's what he says was symbolic. The first time she saw him, she was covered over. But as I say, nowadays, we always try to be open to communicate their relationship, certainly with your marriage. Okay, let's stop here. Here are the Marabakundis. I photocopied them already. Okay? Please listen to the tape. We didn't listen in the beginning. Let's go with the Gemara and the Tyson of